So if a human who's created by God can do a nice job of artistically reproducing a two-dimensional version, unless you're doing a bronze or something, a two-dimensional painting version that looks really, really close to real and maybe captures emotion, ooh, what a good painter. But there's no God. What? God creates this incredible universe, this incredible earth. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, life is hard. You know, if you think of the saying that for non-believers, this is as close. Well, let's start out with this. For a believer in Jesus Christ, if the Bible's correct and true, and boy, is there a lot of reasons to believe it is, and I do. For a believer, this time on earth, on this planet, is as close as you will ever come to hell. For a non-believer, the time on this great, big, massive planet is as close as they will ever come to heaven. And this planet is the dividing line. Your time on this earth is the dividing line. And I recently watched a movie called American Underdog. My wife and I are trying so hard to just find more and more clean stuff. Folks, I am disgusted with Hollywood. What a bunch of vile pigs. And I love audiovisual TV. I was born with this desire for quality. I just was. I was talking to my mom about that last night, praise God. It's in me. I'm sorry, I can't help it. Just is, okay? So I have upstairs in our house a nice theater. It's got a Dolby Atmos system and Anthem amps and, you know, I don't even know what, you know, and I get like the Control 4 smart home stuff. I'm just like into that stuff. I love it. And I just like to watch movies, but I love good quality movies that move my heart. And there, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, you know, I read here recently in scripture, and people, we struggle with this, but in Proverbs, it says a curse with no cause is a waste of breath, basically. Okay, what does that mean? It means there's a time and a place, whether you like it or not, that people can toss a curse out. Doesn't, you know, you can debate with me all, and I know about, you know, let no unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, but it doesn't have to be unwholesome. There's times guys use the SH word. I grew up in Montana. I mean, I grew up working hard on, and I had jobs on farms and ranches and every other kind of business, and it's just, there's a time and a place, that, you know, and that's, in other words, well, the Lord's name in vain is outgone, not acceptable ever, period, but there's times you can have a little bit of that, period, just a teeny little weeny bit of that, and that's plenty, okay? These new movies are blah, blah, blue, blah, you know, filthy, foul, cruddy, crappy, bloody, blech. Just vile trash. It's satanic in every possible way. If you don't think so, man, I'll tell you, you go back and read the writings of our founders and people at that era. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's interesting. When you have the power of the pen, which has now, of course, been destroyed by social media and online and texting and tweeting and whatever the other things are, people are like, yeah, chick bock, picnic, you know, and everything's abbreviated and it's all, you know, terrible grammar and it doesn't matter. Man, our founders, you know, not only were they articulately beautiful, the writing, if you go look at their penmanship, it's like, for the love of God, look how gorgeous that is. Of course, God made language too, and yes, he covered that in the Bible as well at the Tower of Babel. What a cool way to scatter man upon the earth. Post-Tower of Babel, God knew that men had to be scattered, otherwise, what would they do? They'd concentrate together, create a metropolitan toilet, destroy each other, and get power over all people, and boof, away it went again. I don't know what happened before. I could talk about it, but I ain't gonna do that right now. But I can tell you, it's like he had to scatter us. Look at how much language deciphered or language divided the earth and people, okay? You know, you got, I mean, the Chinese are the most terribly threatening and most impressive nation of all. They've been around 5,000 years or whatever. I mean, you know, whatever. We can get into the debate of the, well, you know, I think we've been here this many years. Okay, fine. That's great. But they've done a good job of hanging in there. And that's why we have no idea what they're doing to us. We're like children, okay? Where was I going a minute ago? I want to tell you, there's a quote from Kurt Warner that's really been hanging with me. I watched that movie, American Underdog. What a great story. And I remember it, the 2000 Super Bowl was the most significant Super Bowl I ever remember watching. Kurt Warner, at 36 years old, came out of nowhere after boxing groceries, literally at a grocery store, took responsibility for a lady much older than him with two children because her father, and he loved her a lot, still does, her father asked him, and he promised he would take care of her before he died, before her father died. Story, you know, the guy was so broken, and it's a believer story. He's a God-loving, God-fearing, God-glorifying man, praise the Lord. The best stories on this planet, the most incredible glory stories, the real superheroes are always supercharged by God, as I've talked about in the past. If your will and your intent is to serve him, you have to realize, folks, there's some grouchy, grumpy people out there. I've met you. I mean, I've got, you know, now and then, you know, we'll get someone, I'll get my cell number or whatever because I call them at night or whatever. And then, my goodness, just, bleh, you know, they're just miserable. But you got to think bigger than that. So Kurt Warner, the guy's boxing groceries, commits to this woman. There's stories of him all simultaneously losing the heat in his home because he can't afford it in her for these kids. By the way, one of the kids was blind from very young because the true father of the child dropped him on the head. And then when they went to the hospital, never said a word, didn't tell anybody what happened, lied. So they didn't know how to treat it, and they could have. And this boy spent his entire life blind, okay? And this Kurt Warner, God-loving, God-fearing, there's no better man on earth, by the way, folks, than a God-loving, God-fearing gentleman. He watched out for these kids. You know, they lost their power. They're driving clear out in the country at one time, 5.5, 6 miles from town, run out of gas in the middle of icy, icy cold winter. He has to run 6 miles down a road, go to a grocery store, or I mean a convenience store, get a canister of gasoline. He has to talk the guy into giving him a free canister and letting him get gasoline for free. He has to beg the guy, basically, with class. Runs back. You want to go run when it's, you know, at the thing, it was like 10 degrees out. You want to run 6 miles with a 5-gallon canister of gasoline at 10-degree weather? While your woman, which he probably should have married by then, but hadn't, while your woman and their children wait in the car, almost literally freezing to death. Think about that. And at the same time, well, I won't go down the whole story. I mean, this guy hit the wall. I think God really wanted to bring it out. So anyway, the thing that stood out to me is this saying that came out, a quote that's just been ringing in my head, and I cannot get it out of my head. And the quote is this. I'm going to grab it. I know what it is, but I don't want to shortchange it at all. Here it is. Life is not about what you can achieve. It's about who you can become. The most miserable people I know are worried about what they can't achieve. They want to make their mark on this earth. Okay? That's understandable. That's a desire put in us by God to be the best that we can be. But the problem is, it's the flesh versus the spirit. When we want to achieve something fleshly, we want to be a famous writer or artist or musician or whatever, that is the lottery. But if that's our heart's desire, what's the Bible say? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean like, okay, Lord, I like that verse. Okay, so I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I delight myself in you. And so here's what I want. I want a 6-carat diamond and I want a house in Oahu, which I got. That reminds me of something. I'll hit in a minute. That's not the point. I think the point is that God places in plants in each one of us a form of a destiny, okay? What does that mean? You have a talent. I have talent. Well, you have talents. I may have more than one. I don't know. But according to Scripture, we all got something. Isn't it interesting? The lowest number God talked about was one. He didn't have a story of, well, you know, there's a guy who got 5 talents, a guy got 2 talents, a guy got 1 talent, a guy got no talent. And the guy with no talent didn't do nothing. No, we all have a purpose. We all have a semi-destiny. I don't mean destiny like God reaches down, grabs our head, and pushes us around. We have free will. And the important thing about free will is, like I was getting into a minute ago, we have to completely commit. Well, I don't want to make it sound too complicated because each of us have different levels of faith and everything else and different backgrounds, and God knows all that. Do you desire, do you cherish God? Do you desire to serve God? Do you want your life to make a mark? You want to make a mark? It's about what's inside. It's not what's on the outside. We are so pathetic. Who do we go, you know who's really cool? Bill Gates. And I know most of us are like, no, he's evil. Zuckerberg, evil. You know, they kind of are. But how about, you know, Herschel Walker? Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowl wins. The reason that he had to hang out for 7 before he retired is because he had to beat Kurt Warner 6. Kurt Warner is the one I just read the quote from. The guy that came from being a box boy, boxing groceries at a grocery store, of course, and, you know, not being able to feed these kids, having his house power go out so they're freezing in the winter, having his car break down on the side of the road, and Tom Brady, as far as I know, who's never given the glory to God, he always gives it to his team. Kurt Warner had to come out of the gutter. He had to come out of the dust. And yet, a guy like Tom Brady just drenched in talent from the Lord, had to spend a career into his 40s to beat a guy who was anointed by the Lord. And because Tom Brady just beat Kurt Warner's record, there's a movie out about Kurt Warner. Interesting, isn't it? The movie was definitely not produced by a Christian organization. Well, I can't say that. It doesn't appear that it was. But they couldn't deny or completely reject Kurt Warner's glorification of God in his whole life. It's just beautiful. I just think it's so beautiful. Our time on this earth, folks, is an orchestra. It's and as humans, it's like when you connect with God, you become part of this great, big, beautiful symphony. And all of this somehow translates and carries into heaven. The glory stories are going to be so wonderful, and the joy. You know, and I will say again, I know, I don't think I've ever convinced anyone otherwise. Folks, the pre-trib rapture is not in the Bible. I know. I have scoured and studied and dug, and I have a legal yellow notepad just stacked and packed with notes, research and all this stuff. It just ain't there. I don't know the answers much at all, but don't hang your hat on that. Hang your hat on Jesus Christ. I spoke to someone yesterday, and I started hearing about pre-trib this and rapture that. And that's like, that's where her faith is. What good does that do? It's like, man, things are getting real bad. I'm just waiting, and we're going to come. You know, Jesus come a sweeping down, going to pull us all out. We're all flying away, you know. I'll fly away, oh glory. Well, that ain't what that song's about. It's about God's taking us up when he does. But it's a one-time shot. Matthew 24, straight out of the mouth of Christ. And I'm telling you what, do not go, yeah, but my pastor said in 1 Thess 4 that it says that, you know, you're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to, you know, you're going to blink, and all of a sudden, woof, there he is. It's going to be a really sneaky little thing. Oh, yeah. What a great story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now, a who in Hebrew, now later, the earth was destroyed. It was tohu and bohu, devastated, chaotic, messed up. And then out of that, God took the waters and he moved the earth and he did this and did that. And he created, you know, eventually, you know, plants and animals, etc., mankind. And then man rose up. Man was in the garden, the adult womb. And then free will is about the whole gig. Why would the angels of heaven cry out in glory, the hosts of heaven, party on, yay, if, you know, it wasn't about free will, about this complex nature of who we are. And then man after man, generation after generation goes and suffers and dies and endures and seeks God and all this, and we build up and we build this incredible nature, and we develop the earth, and then you get, of course, get run over by a bunch of whack job evil people every time and again, century after century. And, you know, but every time there's glory stories, phenomenal magic, if you can use the word spiritually properly, goes on and on and on. And then, but wait, all of a sudden, whoop, took us all away. Let the whole earth go black. Everyone falls down. Planes are crashing. Buildings are falling. Things are burning up. There's no more firemen, or, you know, but most are gone, and policemen and teachers and everything is gone. And the whole earth grows dark and no one knows where everyone went. They just got sucked up into space. Out of the blue, aliens came, is what it would look like. Whoop, up we go. But don't worry. After everything falls apart and everyone just suffers his wrath, Then he's going to all come back and go, here I am. Are you happy to see me? What? Versus things go clear to the end when Jesus Christ brings his kingdom onto the earth. And it says in Matthew 24, out of his own mouth. And I've mentioned people say, well, you need one or two witnesses and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm going to go with the mouth of Christ, okay? You either have to decide. Scripture's either inspired, accurate, etc. That is why God inspired the publishing of four Gospels. You can tell they're not in cahoots. They don't write alike. They don't tell the stories alike. I've heard people say, well, there's a conflict of interest here. This one says Jesus rode in on a donkey, and this one says he rode in on two. And therefore, the Bible's inaccurate. Oh, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. It's just dumb. But the point is, the writing styles are completely different. Their perspective is different. But four witnesses is four corners of an intersection for an accident. Four witnesses is looking at something from every possible angle. Think about that. I mean, there's the physical peripheral vision and the spiritual peripheral vision. You get four people from four different angles looking at something. Every angle's covered. Imagine that. God's good, right? However, the issue I was discussing a minute ago, Jesus said, when I come back, it ain't going to be. Jesus isn't a coward. He's not sneaky. God's not sneaky. Why does it say God does what he does? He wants to be exalted. He wants to be glorified. He tells us to be covert. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. When you give or you do good or you do right, he's like, you can either get your glory on earth or you can get your glory in heaven. But he says everything he does is for him to be exalted and glorified. So Jesus isn't like Sneaky Joe. Look at me, I'm sneaking in the back door. Jesus isn't a Navy SEAL coming in to rescue a hostage, sneak him out at night with as little visibility as possible. Read Matthew 24, number one. Number two, I say this, I'm not like promoting nothing. I like the Blue Letter Bible. Learn how to use it. Get your iPad or your laptop, and you can click on all the words. Study the words. Learn how to study the words. It'll show you what the biblical usage is, what the original Hebrew is, or the original Greek, or whatever. Learn how to use that. Read Matthew 24. If you're not reading the Bible, folks, and I know some of you aren't, that is not good. You need the Word of God cleansing your soul. I went through a year of my life when I got out of college. My wife was sicker than a dog, dropped all the way down to 90 pounds. We were in the Portland, Oregon area. We got referred to this Dr. Benson or something like that, who'd invented or discovered and wrote all these journal articles on methotrexate for rheumatoid arthritis. And it was like, oh, it stops rheumatoid. Well, of course it does, because it devastates your immune system. It was chemotherapy. So this doctor who we got referred to, we've been involved on the cutting edge of a number of drugs, but that one's a stinker. You know, turned my wife ghost gray, dropped her down to 90 pounds. She's about 5'4", you know, and I mean, her healthy weight, I think, was at the time about 118, 120. She's a cutie doll. And, but she was down to 90 pounds, stiff as a board, couldn't move, rheumatoid was crazy. Doctor kept trying to give us more and more and more of this drug. And, anyway, well, God took us through that whole journey. and brought us from there to where we are today. And I'm looking at time here. I'm clipping away. So let's, I'm not going to read that right now. So anyway, the Kurt Warner quote is important. Life's not about what you can achieve. It's about what you can become. It's an internal spiritual journey that you must endure, no matter who you are. I don't know how people remain hollow and empty and clueless and supposedly in denial. God gave us free will, and what a beautiful, beautiful journey we're on. Sincerely, a wonderful journey. But like I said, it's tough at times, and that's where I was going a minute ago before I dropped the subject. But we went through some toughy, tough times. You know, I've mentioned that story, and, you know, it got, I mean, my wife was sicker than a dog, and I'll never forget when my parents came out to visit. And it was a bad area. We were living in Scuzzville. That's all I could afford. Long story there. Maybe not that long, but I won't go down it. Sorry about the voice. My dad, who was very humorous, and my mom and I have talked numerous times about all these quips and hilarious quotes my dad used to make. We should make a little book of them, because we used to think, oh, he probably picked that up here or there. No, it was all his. And not only were they hilarious, they were wise. And I've never heard the vast majority of them from anyone ever again. They were his. But his quote was, you know you're living in a nice neighborhood when your car is the only car that leaves in the morning to go to work. He was right. I mean, we were living in Scumville, and that's just where God let me go. I don't know why, but he let me just dig my way out of the dredges. And I've got some cool stories. I mean, I've lived through some wild, crazy, stupid stuff that the average person could not endure. Shoved into different public home thing, you know, whatever, the system per se, bounced around. Every person I came in contact with, the vast majority all ended up going to prison and, you know, just being exposed to all that. And yet God had a vision in my mind. I just always knew I was better than that, not arrogantly, but just a sense of resolve and resilience that God put into me. He had a plan. And like I said, I like nice things. I like, I think grand, you know. But he made me go through a lot, or a lot, whatever you want to call it, allowed me, led me, whatever, through some tough, tough times to counterbalance that processing, you know. And who knows what the historical, generational, spiritual impacts are that God had seen and known and he wanted to shatter or break. I don't know any of that. And God knows. And someday maybe we'll know. But he lets us suffer by our standards in order to achieve. Everything, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This is physical law that applies to natural law. Everything in physical law applies to natural law. So there is a scale, there's the scales of justice in the universe. People are like, I believe in the universe. Well, they should, because God set this natural law up. It's just knowing who made it, how they made it, and why they made it that helps you comprehend it. I don't make the rules, but I will tell you, there really is a counterbalance for everything. In other words, actions have consequences. And for some reason, you have to give to take, and you got to take to give or whatever. But then God shatters what we know to be natural law. It's better to give than receive. God breaks all those rules of natural law when we give back to him like a tithe. We're not giving to him. We're returning a small portion of what he gave us out of homage. we're saying we know where it's coming from. But then it says, what's it say in Malachi 3? I will stop the devourer. I will block the devourer. I will remove it from your life. The devourer, what's the devourer? I do not know. But it means a consumer, a destroyer. It's natural law. It's actually physical law. It's applied to natural again. It's the law of entropy. Everything is getting ripped apart and taken down and turned to dust. But God says if you respect him and honor him with the first fruits of your labor, he will change that natural law and let things grow and prosper in a way that I can't explain, but I've experienced. So God's faithful, God's true. Last real quick pop on there before I move on a little bit. That applies to your heart condition. That applies to what you're sowing on this planet with people. Now, there are people that are naturally combative and debative and uncomfortable to be around, and I believe me, I'm aware of them. Okay? We're going to run into that. And they get a spirit of judgmentalism. God doesn't call us for that. He doesn't call us to be judgmental of one another. He calls us to have love. When is love appropriate? At all times. Is it loving? You know, God has wrath and justice. Is it loving to say, allow someone to endure capital punishment? Well, yeah. Love is God's nature. It's true and accurate and right at all times. You have to look at the balance of other things. And that, my friends, is a tangent of 90 million degrees. When I mentioned earlier that I kind of was being humorous about a house in Oahu or something. If you don't know, Oahu is the big island of Hawaii. Obama got him one of them. Back in the 80s, there was a show called Magnum P.I. with Tom Selleck. Apparently, Obama's friend bought the Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck estate where it was filmed, whatever. 1,300 front feet of water. Okay? He bought it in 2015, which was a great time to be buying real estate. But in 2015, his buddy bought it for like $8.7 million. It has this massive seawall, which, you know, they say it's eroding this and that, which it does or doesn't. Who cares? But the point is, it's environmentally incorrect and they want it torn down. And why am I talking about this? Because Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, Mr. I went into the White House worth zero, except for an $800,000 home that was given to him by Louis Farrakhan, which is why they had public battles, because once Obama got in, he abandoned his promises and commitments to Louis Farrakhan because George Soros had stepped up to the plate and got him in and made him make commitments, and he was committed, and that's that. He's committed to the destruction of the United States of America. I don't think in their minds it's nearly that simple. I think they love the life. But anyway, Obama somehow got his hands on this property. 1,300 linear feet of frontage in Oahu. Folks, that's a lot. I mean, what is that? Like a quarter of a mile almost? Actually, that is a quarter of a mile. A quarter of a mile. And then they're wiping out all the old property and rebuilding the whole thing. Where did he get all this money? That bother anyone? Go into the office broke, come out and you can do a, they were estimating, I was reading some stuff, they were saying a minimum of $38 to $42 million he's spending on this property. He's apparently working with this obscure architect, you know, on and on, blah, blah, blah. $40 million bucks. Where'd the guy get the money? What a sick system we've designed and developed here. It really is messed up, okay? So now that I'm out of time, which I'm not quite out of time, but I always am. On my intro, folks, please understand, we help you with precious metals-based assets. It's not a mystery. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. We're very fair, very honest. I just want you to understand that you cannot go anywhere and have the level of comfort and peace of integrity in this industry, period. That's who we are. I promise. I promise. It is, we operate at a level that no one else does. This business is filled with people looking for ways to take your Achilles tendon out. We don't do that. If you understood our industry and the ease of walking into Coins Plus or sending a check or whatever and just trusting us to take care of you. We've been in business 25 years, but that's not all. We have one of the nicest facilities in the nation, but that's not all. We have the highest rated privately held depository service on the West Coast, but that's not all. What it's all about is our commitment to Christ. And I'm not saying I'm a perfect dude, and I'm not a preacher, and I'm not, you know, I hate that. I know guys that I think are perfect on paper. I don't like them. I have always lived on the edge. I've always been a great big, well, I'm not that big anymore, maybe, but 6'2", 220 still, but I was an athlete. I was always aggressive. I had to live on the edge. I always had to, you know, do things the crazy hard way. I loved physical activity. You know, if you put a carrot out there, I'd chase it and get it. And it's who I am. But I will admit that I've painted the Lord into my life in a way that benefits you. And God's blessed us financially too, because we make a minuscule percentage, literally, a few percent, 2 to 3. And no one does that. Not only do we wholesale to the public, we know what we're doing. We take care of you. We build portfolios. We build beautiful portfolios. We've helped people do substantially well. But most importantly, you're securing your money in God's granite, real money. I'm not, you know I could debate both sides and blah, 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 but you got to realize what paper is. And I've got to reiterate this today, folks. Annuities are not good, okay? I know there's other radio shows out there and certified financial planner, blankety blank blanker, hey, you know. And no, don't buy that junk. Not only is it paper junk, it's a scam and it's a ripoff. Here's what you need to realize. You want to buy any kind of annuity. How do you know if it's annuity now? Well, there's whole life and half life and love life and all these different kinds of life and universal life and blah, blah, blah. I had someone telling me recently when we were up at Quinn's, this gal out of Lewiston, Idaho, we're sitting in the hot, whatever you call the thing, hot springs. And she's like, well, I got me, you know, and she's telling me about her, you know, investments. A poor gal. She's got a business. She's just trying so hard to do the right thing. And I try so hard not to be that guy. I don't even carry business cards. I'm the worst because I think early on in my career when I was in banking and I really didn't like it. When insurance guys were like flipping me their card, flipping, you know, all the time. Hey, if you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't like those kind of people. I like to just be people on people. That's who I like, okay? So I'm talking to this gal. I'm not really telling her what I do. She figured out I knew a little bit about money, and she's telling me how she's got this, you know, she couldn't tell me what kind of life insurance it was, and she, you know, ultimately determined as we spoke that it was term life, which it wasn't. And then I find out that this gal's spending $1,000 a month. She thinks she's investing. Well, I got this great life insurance policy on me and my husband, and the rest goes into an investment fund and blah, blah, blah. No, don't do that. You want life insurance? You buy term life. Term life. You go pay a fee and get insurance, okay? If you're 50 years old, you can pay, you know, I don't know what it is, $100 a month. I don't even know because I don't have it, because instead I've tried to store up the assets, the exact things I'm recommending to you. You get term life and then you invest the rest in something hard and liquid. Now, I believe no matter what's going on with Bitcoin and crypto and the stock market and this and that, I really, really believe in the precious metals assets. I just spoke to a gal yesterday who has a profound amount of money with us. Probably, I don't know, $5-6 million. And she transferred her 401k over. She's doing a personal responsibility 401k, which I can guide you to a guy that can help you with that, but I'm telling you, quickly, precious metals 401ks are getting a bit messy. Of course, the SEC is trying to make them complicated. These companies all of a sudden are trying to work with one company that handles liquidation, and their pricing's not fair, and whatever. But I was speaking to this gal, and she moved over maybe, I don't know, say $500,000 into a precious metals IRA that she's self-managing. And she's like, well, why have the metals not been going up, Kevin? Well, she did. She put in 500 and some thousand, 516, in like, say, October of 19. And I calculated, we calculated for her because she has to report where she's at. And her $516,000 is $650,000, roughly, 656. Well, that means she's made $140,000 on $516,000, which is like, what, 28% or 27% or whatever. And I was like, blank, that's her name right now, blank. I go, you've made like 27% in however many, you know, you go from October 19, October 20, October 21 to today. Just a tick over 2 years, maybe 2 years and 4 months or 3 months or whatever. I'm like, that's not a bad return, is it? And she goes, no, that's not bad at all. She goes, I just know the metals are worth so much more. And I said, I agree. But you've still made 27% in 2.3 years or 2.4 or whatever it is, you know, and that's a fact. That's inflation. 27% is probably fair. It's probably close. So don't get caught up in the, it's not skyrocketing. You don't want it skyrocketing. That's how you lose your tail. Just so you know, I hate it when I run out of time. Today was a weird show. Just remember, we strive to be fair and honest and upfront, and I believe in what we do. Please, just do yourself a favor. Just secure your assets. It's not a mystery. Well, my stockbroker, forget about you're never, ever. I've never one time ever. I lied. That's wrong. I've only ever seen one stockbroker recommend people get metal. And this gal managed one of the largest investment companies in Spokane. And believe me, she sent a truckload of wealth through us. We did the same, the small margin, super tight margins. And of course, she was laid off. And guess what? That was back before the 08 crash. She wrote a letter, predicted it literally to the day. She's not a believer, so she doesn't listen to my show. But she saw it coming. She was good. She knew her stuff. But in general, you'll never get a broker to say, yeah, yeah, go buy metals. You just do what you know is right. You're a believer. You don't need some man's approval, okay? So we're out of time. Here's the deal. go online, give us 3 5-star reviews. You know, I don't care, whatever you want to do. Facebook, whatever, I'm running out of time. Google, et cetera, 2 free silver dollars. Most importantly, secure your assets and hard, secure your money and hard assets. I'm out of time. I love you. Thank you for your loyalty. God bless. Bye-bye.